This episode of Hacker Public Radio is brought to you by the word hacker and the letters H, P and R. Hi, my name is Gordon Sinclair. My handle on IRC is Thistleweb. This episode of Hacker Public Radio is aimed at asking a question of the free and open source community at large. Just to start thinking about issues like this, the question is it holding us back to keep referring to ourselves in terms that the mass media have already redefined in negative terms? The one that obviously springs to mind is the one that inspired this episode, is the word hacker. Now, we know what a hacker is, but if you do a word association with the mainstream public, they have a different perception. They get their perception from TV shows, from movies, from current affairs programmes, from documentaries, from news stories. Now, invariably, when they see stories involving hackers, the hacker is always the bad guy. The hacker's the criminal. The hacker's the one who is causing harm. They are the ones who invariably are linked with all sorts of other international crimes, like drug trafficking, people trafficking, gun running, you know, counterfeit goods, credit card selling, you know, credit card numbers, funding of terrorism, you know, all this type of stuff is all lumped into one big thing, and hacking is only one part of that. The people have been conditioned, computer users have been conditioned over the years that you can't run your Windows system without protection programs like antivirus, anti-spyware, firewalls, all these different things to try and keep your stuff away from the quote hackers, unquote. That hackers are going to write all these programs to try and get ways onto your computer to steal your data. And so people think of hackers as in negative terms. And here we are now, it's 2009. Linux is already, for people who use it, people who listen to this feed, we know that Linux has been ready for a long time. Maybe 2 or 3 years, the Linux desktop has been really ready for the big time. The server's a lot longer than that. We know that we are a serious, credible alternative to Microsoft in so many ways. We know that governments can save a fortune in taxes by switching to Linux. Now, in fairness, the money they would save then would probably get squandered in some other way. But at least the money wouldn't go into Microsoft license fees. We know that schools could save a fortune by switching to Linux. Again, whether they would squander that saving in other ways, well, that's another issue. Linux is a serious, credible alternative. The juggernaut known as Ubuntu is making all sorts of headlines, and it'll continue to make even more headlines. And by headlines, I mean it's bursting through into the mainstream media, not just confined to the IT media. So the more that that happens, the more that companies and governments and schools and all these organisations are being, the pressure's on them to get more bang for the buck, to save money, to cut costs. One of these ways that they can cut them is by looking at switching over to a Linux solution instead of Microsoft. Now, on one hand, they've got all these various reports that are coming to them in the mainstream media about companies saving money by switching to CentOS for their servers, or you know, switching to SLED desktops instead of Vista. And they're looking at that thinking, right, well, what is this Linux thing? Because it's getting more and more it's getting more and more press, it's getting more and more attention. So I'm going to look into this. And when they look into it, they're obviously going to look online, and what they're going to come across is a lot of people talking in terms like hacker. You know, if they go on to look at articles and blog posts and forums, and or download a few random episodes of podcasts, you have people on there in comments and things like that referring to themselves as hackers, and oh yeah, I got started off on such and such a product, I was a Debian hacker years ago, and blah blah blah. Now we know that the definition of a hacker is different from what they're thinking, but they've been conditioned by the mainstream media to think that hacker is negative. Then they see that this Linux is free of cost. Mostly it's free of cost, unless you start looking at the two main vendors, being, well, I suppose you could call Sun, you could put Sun in that as well with their Solaris, but the two main vendors obviously that spring to mind are Red Hat and Novell. Now, to my knowledge, the licenses, the money you pay them is for the support rather than the actual product. But these are corporations behind them. The corporations have some corporate focus. They have, as the saying goes, they have somebody to sue if something goes wrong. Every other Linux outside of that appears to be a website controlled by no one. It's a small community, relatively small community of people with email addresses who work part-time on things. There's no suable centre entity behind it. There's no corporate thing behind it. And then they look into that and say, well, look, there are a lot of hackers that work on these programs. Why is it free? Is it that much of a stretch to think that the reason it's free is because they want to get the hackers want you to run these Linux distributions so that they can then, they've got a backdoor onto your machine? We know that's not true, but it's not that much of a stretch when you're using the term hacker, and they've been conditioned to think that hacker is negative. Now, especially when you add that to in the bigger organisations and the governments and schools and whatever, when Microsoft hear that some company has the audacity to decide for themselves what computers they're going to use, and they decide that Microsoft's too expensive and that they're looking for an alternative, as per usual, they'll swoop in with the suits and tell these companies, tell these the people who are making the decision anything they need to get them to stay with Microsoft. We know that the truth and reality just does not enter into this. It's a reality-free zone when Microsoft get involved at that level. We know that. So we are essentially playing into their hands. When Microsoft use the FUD angle of, oh, these Linux guys, they're all, you can't trust them, they're all thieves, they're stealing our software, you know, they're stealing our property, and they're not paying for it, and if you use them then you could be getting sued as well, there's no entity behind them, there's no central office that you can, brick and mortar office that you can go down and phone, or, you know, and what legal jurisdiction do they come into? I mean, for example, Debian is listed on DistroWatch as worldwide. if something goes wrong with a Debian system and you need to sue them, what jurisdiction do they come under? Well, first thing to point out there is Linux is, for them, I don't know about Red Hat or SLED, but every Linux that I've used, that I've installed, comes with a disclaimer at the start that says, look, by installing this software, there's no warranty. It's a community supported thing, there is no warranty. If something goes wrong, it's your problem, you know. We know that Linux is very well programmed, and that the community support is generally very good, especially with the mainstream distributions, that's not going to be an issue. But these are all things that play into Microsoft's FUD when we are trying to appeal to a very conservative mindset, because corporations, schools, governments, they are very conservative by nature. When they put plans in place, when they're discussing something, some new direction to take, the outcome won't happen for another year and a half, maybe even 2 years. So they need to know stability. They need to try and be able to predict what the situation is going to be in a couple of years. They are conservative by mindset. The last thing they want is something that has no central entity, has been put together by people who are self-confessed hackers, who Microsoft have told them are stealing their software, who the mass media tell them, well, hackers are invariably involved in stolen goods and, you know, credit card sales and funding of terrorism and people trafficking and all that. Is it so much of a stretch for them to assume, or for Microsoft to plant in their minds that, well, look, these guys are illegal. Linux is illegal. The only legal choice you've got is staying with Microsoft. Just sign the contract, you know, and we'll put all these new Vista machines in. You know, you won't have a budget to educate your kids, but at least you'll have Vista on all your machines, which is all we care about. You know, so it's not that much of a stretch for them to be able to plant in the minds that if these hackers are making this software and distributing it free, what's the cost? The cost may be that there's backdoors, that it's A, it's stolen software, B, that it's got lots of backdoors into it that allow these hackers to then steal your data. Is that more of a risk than some corporate entity where you can just pay for your corporate license for your antivirus and your corporate license for your firewall software and, you know, have some Windows code monkey employed to make sure that it's locked down as much as possible, and at least you've got a FTSE 100 name to sue or to be held accountable if all goes to pot. So we know that that's all FUD. We know that we are a serious, credible alternative to Microsoft. We know that the vast majority of solutions for people are going to be better with Linux than they are with Windows. There are some exceptions, obviously. We know that we are there. We know that. But the point is, the mass media have already got a negative impression of Hacker. So, a bit long-winded, so I do apologise. I'm still getting used to this. I do these in one take, and sometimes I feel I'm rambling a little bit. I'm sorry for that. So, the long and short of it is, should we be starting to think of redefining that? Or not redefining it, but giving up on terms that have already been redefined. It's no good us keeping going on about the term hacker and insisting that everyone else has the wrong definition of the word hacker. It's not going to do any good at all. So is it worth us gradually just dropping these terms and stop using these terms now that Linux is more mainstream. We are not the little plucky outsider now. We were initially, where it was just for geeks, but we're not now. And Microsoft have for a long time used the argument that, oh, Linux is just for geeks, where, oh, you have to use the command line, they don't even have a GUI yet. Well, we know that's not true, but a lot of people that have never even used Linux have fallen for that, or they've used Linux 8 years ago, 9 years ago, and it was pretty much what Microsoft said it was. We know it's not true, but you know, that's the perception people have. So as we are trying to appeal to the more, Linux is ready, for the most part it's ready, it's mainstream, or it's potentially mainstream. It's going to get even more mainstream. Is it worth us starting to look ahead from that, and starting to look a little bit more professional, just by the choice of words that we use? Hacker is the obvious one, but there's bound to be more as well, that people can think of. So anyway, this has went on a bit longer than I had planned. So I'm going to call it an end at that, and I hope to hear this spark off some discussions in forums and blogs and articles and IRC and other podcasts and whatever, to get people talking, to hear different views on this. So anyway, I have been, and I will be, and I continue to be, Gordon Sinclair. My IRC handle is ThistleWeb, and if you want to contact me via email, it's thistle.webcast@googlemail.com. And until next time, goodbye.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.